All right, we are in here. Damian Barling and Joe Adge on the December 2nd edition of the Sacramento Kings podcast, presented by Hoopball and the Be Heard podcast platform. We are so happy that you're here with us. Full disclosure, we are recording this about 15 minutes after the news of Russell Westbrook being traded to the Washington Wizards in exchange for a guy who just had an Achilles surgery, in exchange for a guy who just had an ACL surgery, in exchange for a guy who hasn't played basketball in two freaking years. The Houston Rockets just traded a 27-8-9 guy. But cool, the contracts match up damn near to a T, so I guess in the NBA, that's all that matters, and Washington figures, hell, we can get off of this deal and get rid of James Wall. We know he's not going to be good anymore, and Russell Westbrook can get traded because God knows what the Houston Rockets are doing. Everybody's waiting for the James Harden thing to happen, and I'm sitting here like, that was just disrespectful.
Yes, but like I said, too, I'm happy for Westbrook to get out of that Houston drama and back with Scotty Brooks and a couple of his other old coaches from Oklahoma City that are now on the Wizards bench. I'd much rather be playing with Bradley Beal than James Harden as a point guard. And they do have some young talent, and I mean, they just paid Bertrand's a crap load of money. Got some shooters around them, but they at least have guys lined up contract wise for a while. So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what actually happens, but yeah, it was, like you said, it was a no brainer for Washington that they got the better player right now, because we don't know what Wall's going to come back as. And his contract is like $500,000 less. So you can say you saved a little money. They gave up a protected, 2023 first round pick. I don't know what the protections are, but it'll be interesting to see, and then to see what Houston has a first round pick now. I don't know if they can move it, because I know they've traded all their other picks, and you have those can't trade
right
two in a row. But it'll be interesting, and you have Boogie and Wall back together again. You have to wonder if Boogie, before he signed, if that was kind of told to him as a, we know you're friends with, you know, you're close with Wall, this is opportunity for you to
reunite. Sure, but Woj just,
or if he was signing strictly because that's who was interested and he didn't.
Yeah, I mean, Woj just tweeted that Tommy Shepard and Raphael Stone hadn't talked in weeks on the deal, but connected this afternoon. So I don't know. I don't exactly remember how long ago Boogie signed. Like in NBA terms, it's been like 6 months. Yeah, but it's been 6 months because we just had the draft. We just had free agency. Training camp started yesterday. And no, I promise we're not going to talk the entire podcast on the Russell Westbrook deal. We will talk about the Sacramento Kings and training camp getting in our way, sort of. We'll explain what we mean by that in a minute. But this news literally just happened, and I know a lot of people download these podcasts the night of. So that is the news of the NBA Twitter world, that Russell Westbrook is headed to Washington for John Wall and a first-round pick.
Yeah, and I already saw some comments like, oh, well, so much for what they said last week about never trading John Wall and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, I get it. We all want to believe what's being told, but it very much is a business, and nobody is off limits unless you're like LeBron James. I mean, realistically, like, there's nobody that's unmovable, you know, unless you're LeBron.
Yeah. No, that's true. And I mean, don't ever, a lot of that stuff is just done for public posturing. Hell, Kings fans know that better than anybody else. Mm-hmm. We're not trading DeMarcus Cousins. We're signing DeMarcus Cousins to a long-term contract extension. And a week and a half later,
signing a $200 million contract. Yeah.
Yeah. We all know this is, it's all worth nothing. It's worth nothing when a player says, I want to spend my whole career here. Peja said it. Chris Webber said it. I think both of them were traded within days of that statement. It happens with, you know, organizations as well, where you get the right deal and you move off it. I don't know what Houston's game plan is. They're not bringing in John Wall because they think he's an all NBA player or right. a potential MVP candidate. He is a massive, massive unknown, which is just one of the things that I can't get over, is so many people act like Russell Westbrook is completely washed up. And I can't figure that out. Like, I look over his numbers over and over and over again, and I see the same 27, 8, and 9 or whatever it is. And it's like, what is leading you to this belief that Russell Westbrook is washed up? He took a 27, 7, and 8, and he took a back seat to James Harden last year. He let James Harden dribble, shoot a three. Like, he let him, you know, whether he led the league in scoring or whatever James Harden did last year, Russell Westbrook let him do all of that stuff. So how people got to this notion that Russ is washed up, I just find absolutely fascinating. But I think he's going to do well in Washington. Obviously, I'll be watching him closely, but that trade just, I don't even, it's just so It's just so disrespectful. I just, like, you're literally trading him for a guy who hasn't played in 2 years. Yeah. You want to start over? You want me to hit the music again and we can launch into Kings talk and get going. Training camp is underway. There were some things said from both Luke Walton and Monty McNair, Marvin Bagley. And I know Harrison Barnes spoke today. Daquan Jeffrey spoke today. De'Aaron Fox spoke yesterday, depending on when you're listening to this. I mean, all these guys have spoken. Marvin Bagley has yet to take the Zoom podium. Neither has Buddy Hield. But those are two guys who have been a hot topic of conversation. So who you want to start with, Jill? You want to start with Buddy or you want to start with Bagley?
Well, and those are two guys that we haven't seen. And I know there's limits on, like, how many guys can actually be in the gym at once and all that stuff. But those are two that we haven't actually seen video or photos of just reporting.
Sure.
I would assume Buddy doesn't have Corona just because he already had it. Again, I mean, but that was a long time ago and... you know, who knows, but they just came out with all those numbers today. And so I saw people already speculating maybe Bagley was a positive, being that he was a traveler. If he was with his family in Arizona, possibly, I don't know. Or if it's just genuinely, we can only have so many guys in here at once. And so we're just not seeing the rotation yet.
Yeah. And so that's probably worth pointing out.
But it's, I mean, just yes, because knowing that they're playing next week and they had, what, 48 positives or something like that, that's, they haven't released who they are, except the Warriors announced they had two or three yesterday.
Yeah, they had two, but they didn't say who they were. Yeah, right. They didn't say who they were. This is worth pointing out, though. The teams aren't practicing.
Right.
The teams aren't practicing. And I think this is universal across the league. I know the Kings for sure. I know the Warriors for sure. But again, I think this is universal across the league. No one is practicing until Sunday.
Right. They're just allowed to get up and get shots. And I think you're allowed four in the gym at the same time. And they have to be separated.
Like, they're not even with coaches. They're just out there with a ball and they're shooting. I don't think coaches are out there.
I saw Lindsay out there, but I could be
wrong. Okay, maybe you did. Maybe you did. I just went through the B-roll and it just looked like guys were out there, you know, shooting. But
yeah,
maybe they do. But the point is, it's not. It
counts for a person, right?
Right.
So, but yeah, I mean, and this goes back to what we talked about as. You know, we heard you'll talk about clips with development and things like that, and people wanting young guys to play. And, you know, we're also signing these vets to 1 year minimums. But to me, this is where you have to remember that just because we're signing these guys, and they mentioned this yesterday, they will literally need every single body and then some. They will probably end up being times where they're going to have to pull people from the G League. They're going to, I mean, it's, We're already starting to see the numbers. You're seeing it in the NFL. You saw it in baseball. They're outside of the bubble. If they're going to be traveling, like, you have to expect that, whether it be injury, corona, that you're going to end up needing
all, you know, 15 plus your 17 people plus your, you know, your two ways, that you're going to need everybody and people are going to get their minutes. And it's, you could very well have, you know, five straight games of not a set rotation at all. I mean, it's from game to game, it could end up changing.
So what's going to be interesting about that? And you know, you alluded to the NFL. We record these and post these on Wednesdays. You know, we had a football game earlier this afternoon, a part of it that was postponed for 6 days.
Right.
And it'll be, and I think everyone not associated with the NFL, everyone who doesn't cover the NFL, anyone who doesn't get paid by the NFL, I think is in universal agreement that the NFL has not handled all of this well. That it seems to just be a kind of fly by the seat of your pants type thing. Well, we're not going to move the 49ers game. We're not going to move the Raiders game, but we're going to go ahead and move this Baltimore Ravens game because it seems like there's an outbreak. There was no evidence that there wasn't an outbreak when two teams who had multiple positive tests played each other on a Thursday night. But okay, again, they're flying by the seat of their pants here with this. How the NBA navigates this is going to be interesting. We know that they've split the schedule into two. Right. We know that the first release is coming on Friday. We'll get, I believe it's from December 22nd, the start of the season, to like essentially like the All-Star break, which is, I think, early March. It'll go to about there. And then we'll get the second half of the season sometime during that period. And I got to imagine they have an idea of when they want the NBA finals played and when they want the last day of the season to be played, but they have to recognize either they might not get there without cutting games because they're going to have to move games or postpone games in the first half of the season that they might not be able to make up in the second half if they have a hard out date. And I'm of the belief, by the way, because a lot of the hard out date is the Olympics. I don't think the Olympics are happening.
If they're still having these kind of issues, then it does seem far-fetched to believe that that would be happening. Yeah.
Even with vaccines rolling out and allegedly now they're supposed to start rolling out. Like it's December. Like everything's going to be better by July.
Well, and you have to imagine that it's going to be a slow rollout and you're going to have healthcare workers get it first and then, you know, critical people or essential workers. And then eventually it'll make its way to everybody else. But when that actually happens, you'd have to, it's, you know, that's the very last thing that, you know, in the timeline.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, and worldwide.
Right. Exactly. That's the other thing. Right. Exactly. So
it's not even like it's just country. It's literally everywhere. Yeah.
If there's a hard out because of the Olympics, now the hard out may be that players want normalcy. They want summers back. They want like some semblance of a normal offseason, which they're not going to get. Like the finals aren't going to end in the middle of June. They're likely going to end sometime in July. But, you know, how that all shapes out is, this is probably not going to be a 72 game season. And so how they go about, you just mentioned needing as many guys as possible, needing your two-way players, needing all of that other stuff, which brings, you know, the G League up to another completely fascinating question. Cause there are, you know, proposals for the G League that I can't figure out how that could possibly work for anybody, but they're out there. And do we have like games canceled? You just move on to the next one, but if everyone tests negative, you're bringing in new players. Like they're dealing with a completely unknown as well. And that's essentially in some cases, it's what the NFL did as it relates to the 49ers and the Packers. They had positive tests. They removed those guys, did test the day of the game, didn't read the results the day of the game. They read them afterwards, but still did the test the day of the game, put in the replacement players, and then went along with the game. I have to imagine the NBA is going to act a little bit more responsibly, but it's impossible to tell.
Well, and then you had the kids that didn't go to college and are now on the G League Ignite team using that as their.
Yeah.
So you'd have to it's not like all of a sudden they can tell them, oh, sorry, your season didn't happen. So now you can't come to the 2021 draft.
Right.
There's a lot of outside factors and that kind of thing that you'd have to assume they're going to do everything they can just to, at least for that team to be able to play. You'd think they have a lot put into that.
Yeah.
And as we've seen that they're actually practicing, and they were with the Stockton Kings a week or two ago, working and doing stuff in the gym. So yeah, it's going to be interesting. And like, and this is the thing that kind of you have, I mean, worrying about is, right, we're seeing that they're just kind of working in the gym a little bit right now, like, you know, onesies, twosies. And then supposedly this weekend, maybe Saturday, Sunday, at some point, they're supposed to practice, and then they're going to have their first game next week. I'm worried, let alone getting bodies out there, but injury, that you're not getting any kind of normal preseason to get your body necessarily ready to actually play in a game. Like, we know that guys have been in gyms and been doing that, but they still tell you there's a difference between these pickup games and actually going out into a full-blown NBA game, especially if you're a team that wants to increase their pace and run. So I do think it'll be interesting to see how minutes are dispersed, and if they try and kind of slowly work guys in and work up to the pace and things like that. Those I think are things to look at come next week, that don't, like, depending on what they look like in their first game, I wouldn't make or not make anything. You know what I mean? Like, don't make your first impressions on based on their first outings and things like this, or even maybe the first quarter, let alone of the season. You really don't know what you're going to get yet. It's tough. And it's tough for these young kids that are just, I mean, they're being thrown to the fire.
Yeah. I mean, Tyrese is a perfect example. Tyrese Halliburton, brother's just trying to find himself a mattress, and if you missed that, Tyrese Halliburton was at the podium and he was talking about how being an adult is being an adult is hard, and he was talking about the expense of a mattress, and it's like, and you want to invest in a good one. You spend a lot of hours a day on a mattress, so you want to invest in a good one. But he's looking at it like he's out here trying to find a mattress, trying to figure out how to be an adult. And oh, by the way, the expectations for you, at least within the fan base, may have just raised a little bit, because the guy who was a part of your position group, he gone. Yeah. Like, we let him go to Atlanta. He got a little bit too expensive for us. We didn't think it really worked out and made sense. So your playing time went from, we'll work Tyrese in here where we can, let him develop, to you have a good outing here in training camp, do well in these preseason games, and look it. You're going to get some run here when the regular season begins.
Oh yeah. It's, and even, I mean, you'd have to assume a guy like Woodard, who just got that four-year contract, and he got, it was saying in the first year, he actually made over the minimum, but they decreased it, as, you know, Ken loves to do in his contracts. Year three and four are very team friendly, depending on, we always hear how they love flexibility, that leaves, you know, flexible room down the line. But you'd have to assume, signing that kind of deal for a second rounder, that they're going to be heavily invested in not only Halliburton, but in Woodard as well.
Yeah.
And at least his body size, he looks like he's NBA ready. But yeah, and this is where I do feel bad about these kids, is in Sacramento, we're always in the lottery, and we always have high hopes for everyone that we take. This is going to be the one. Yeah. This is going to be the one that takes us to the promised land, right? And we've seen the development from Fox, which is great, and they paid him for it. But people do... Yes, we need to temper our expectations for these guys. They haven't had a summer league. They're not getting a legit
training camp. Yeah.
And so and they're coming onto a team that's been 14 years out of the playoffs.
Yeah.
So it's in the sense that I'm excited to see him, but I also am a little hesitant, just because I know how we can be, as, you know, we want it, and we're fans, and we want to see it.
Yeah, that's part of being a fan.
But, you know, it'll be interesting. And hey, maybe they come out and they look extremely ready, and they're coming. Because as we saw, Monty grabbed guys that he saw that could be guys that play both ends of the court. When you've heard him talk about both of those players, it's not just what they've done offensively, but what they love, what he loves about them, what they can bring to the defensive side of the court. And we're not used to hearing that here.
Yeah.
Usually it is about your offensive flash or your second jumps or things like that. And we're actually hearing them saying, no, like, I'm legitimately excited about what this guy can do from the defensive side. And then you have Woodard, who's come out and said multiple times, you know, in high school, I won state championships. I was the man. When I got to college, I saw that I was not the man. There's a bunch of mans on there, and yeah, and I have to figure out, you know, where, how can I succeed and get where I want to go and not let my ego, you know, stop me from doing this? What, where can I find my spot? And he said, being a 3-and-D guy, and he has embraced that. And he said, and coming to the Kings and coming to the NBA, he knows it's the same kind of thing. And he said, and I'm excited to play that role. I get to be the grit guy. I get to be, you know, to go out there and just bring it. And again, to me as a fan, that's exciting to hear from a young kid that actually wants to play defense, because as you know, it is, it's a very flashy league, and mm-hmm, it's all about the threes and your offense. And so it is nice to hear some defensive talk, more so than you know, we've heard in years past.
Yeah. The with the training camp being the way that it is and things kind of getting underway, we heard from Monty McNair first. We heard from Luke Walton. We mentioned a couple of guys that we heard from. So, you know, popular conversations this week centered around Luke Walton's remarks about Buddy Hield in response to a question that Marshall Harris asked him. Marshall Harris of CBS 13 asked him about, you know, what he thinks regarding what Buddy's role will be. Here is what Luke Walton said. And there's a follow-up from Marshall in this clip that, well, that made its rounds. That made the rounds on Twitter.
Yeah, you know, we got a lot of new faces here. So we have to continue to look at what's going to be best for our team. And, you know, even last season, Buddy started, you know, more than half the season. And when he didn't start, he played a huge role for us coming in off the bench and being a dynamic 20-point-a-night scorer. So every decision I make is always based on what I feel is best for the group and best for the team. And with this training camp, this is part of what we have to see. What do we have? What groups are playing well together? Who complements who? And at the end of the day, every decision that gets made will, again, come down to what do I feel as the head coach is best for this team, giving us the best chance of winning.
Have you talked to him during the offseason or even recently, and what's your relationship with him right now?
Yeah, you know, that's not going to get into the in-house stuff of who I've talked to and this and that with some of that, but Buddy is a very talented player. I've always had a good relationship with him, and you know, we're excited that he's part of the group.
So lots of sound bites there, and Luke was talking when the show started, when D'Lo and Casey started on ESPN 1320 and on the radio.com app. I hope you'll take a listen to it. Luke was talking at the start of the show. I think he started speaking like around 12. We were recording it and we were going to play the sound later in the day. So as Luke was talking, I started seeing the quotes popping up from media who were there. And but, you know, Luke Walton won't say whether he spoke to Buddy and says he won't commit to him starting. And I'm reading this like, oh, okay, that sounds like it was kind of contentious. And then you get the full, you know, that was like a minute, 10 minute, 15 seconds. Like, that was a pretty lengthy clip of Luke Walton talking about Buddy Hield's role and then Marshall's follow up there. But when I heard the full quote in context, I thought, hey, Luke didn't say nothing wrong here. There's absolutely nothing wrong with what Luke Walton said.
Right. It's So as social media and as fan, you know, it's, you take the little clickbait, that, you know, and the little pieces that you want to hear. And I thought Jason Jones today on your show also did a great job of saying how he thought it was smart of Luke to like, to not say anything and just keep it in house. And we want to know everything as fans, but we really don't want to know everything as fans. Like, there are things that need to be kept behind. And we've heard so much too, that if we're going to be getting back to this other style, Buddy will be fine.
Mm-hmm.
It'll work out. It'll be fine. We'll see. And I think he even mentioned today, like, it was something about not so much that he was benched. It was how he was benched.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have a hard time seeing him being happy coming off the bench if there's a rookie in front of him. But again, who knows?
But I'm also of the mindset, on the first day you speak to the media, you don't need to name your starting lineup.
100%. Yeah. I
like De'Aaron's starting.
Right.
We'll figure out the other four later, but De'Aaron is starting. We all know that. And when you're a player of De'Aaron's caliber, you get that honor. Like, right. you get the big fat contract extension. You get it. Like, yeah, you don't have to worry about your starting job. This is a 31 win team in a 72 game season. Everybody else needs right. to worry about their position, the including
years,
Buddy.
Right. The last 2 years, this was the Marvin Bagley. Is he or not? Is he
right.
or not starting? Like, it just right. moved from Bagley to Buddy. Like, it's another, like, I don't know if it's fans, players, but there's so much on not your best position or spot for the team, but it's, am I a starter? Am I a bench? Like, mm-hmm. there's certain guys that accept those roles and other ones that don't. But it's probably something we'll have to watch throughout the season for Bagley as well, because that was something that, you know, that apparently aggravated them. You know, when that first article came out with Brandon Williams about, well, we want Bagley to start, and, you know, Jaeger doesn't think he's ready yet. He wants to bring him along slowly and, you know, not throw him to the wolves first. And yeah. that started that, you know, that tension. It'll be interesting with this new front office, how it's handled. And we know, at least from how he was handled in Houston and had a very big part of working with the staff and figuring out rotations and how to put guys in their best position, that I would assume that Monty's going to have that same kind of role here now that he's in charge. So I'd assume anything that happens, it's everybody's going to be on the same page. Like, there's not going to be an issue when it comes to that. And we'll see how the players react, because, and as well, we haven't seen Bagley in almost a year. And I won't be surprised to see this come up as well. When he's, if, you know, we haven't seen him, I'm assuming he's healthy and, yeah. and ready to go. That I won't be surprised if this ends up coming up as well when he reports and all that is said and done.
I wonder, you said something there, you said something earlier, and this is, It had been bothering me the last couple of days that people have been saying, like, I think Bagley's healthy, or we believe Bagley is going to be ready for the season. They've said things like that. And I think Luke Walton used the line, Bagley being ready for the season. And Jason told us today on D'Lo and KC. Yeah. We've been told that he's healthy. That gave me pause, 'cause I feel like no one has definitively said, yeah, he's good. But it also brings to mind something you said earlier, and it's COVID related. And I don't want to, we're not going to throw that out there, but you can tie those two things together. So
has he, like, I know his brother was going off to Arizona State and
Arizona's wilding, by the way, if you're right. not aware, like, Arizona is full on wilding out. There is no pandemic in Arizona and Arizona State,
but the team. Yes.
I got friends at Arizona State. They just kicking it. Ain't nothing happening there. Just party on.
Yeah. But like, his dad was putting up pictures of where, like, they did the Kings court in Elk Grove at their place there, and they were doing the Sun Devil court in Arizona. And I know he's very close with his family, and they're usually together. And we heard that Fox spent the whole offseason here specifically working with the new assistants or assistants in general.
Yeah.
And in the gym here. To me, that kind of seems that maybe Bagley was not around here, obviously, during the offseason. And that's totally not uncommon. But I'm curious to know, because we haven't really got anything definitive. Like, have they seen him? Like, where is he in Sacramento still? Like, again, that just brings up more questions, like always, than, and maybe we think too much about it. I don't know. Like, we come up with all kinds of scenarios, but I'd assume he was probably in Arizona with the rest of his family.
There could be a quarantine period. I doubt that it's 14 days, but in terms of the Kings, I mean, given the fact that I assume he's, well, this is all assumptions. Like, I have no idea what they're doing. I know, like, I, you know, looking at B-roll, I know what they send us, and I know who goes to the podium. That's about all anybody really knows. And this was the same experience that we had in the bubble, where these guys got to the bubble, these guys meaning the NBA teams, they got to the bubble and media members were still quarantining. So it was only what you were sent. And so when the very small number of positive tests were there, no one knew like really what was going on, because there was no one there to cover it. And the NBA was only letting you know what you needed to know at the time. And, you know, we don't need to know every little bit of health information on these guys, though. Once the season gets here, if there is someone randomly not playing, we'll probably be able to piece that together on our own, especially if they're not sitting on the bench. So,
yeah. And when it comes to Bagley, I think most of us know that a lot of how good or bad the Kings do this year, I mean, it's going to be on him. And if he's healthy, because we've seen when he's healthy, he puts up numbers and he very much flows with Fox and in this offense. And we just didn't get to see that last year. And this is a huge year for him in terms of contract wise as well.
Yeah.
Again, having, you know, the influx of info where it's just, is he not, like, are we going to see him? Are we not, like, it just has everybody kind of spinning and going.
And
it's,
I think,
the
internet, that's,
we're sleuths and we look for everything.
So. Yeah, I mean, and that's why we get so wrapped up in both Bagley and Buddy, because you said, you know, Bagley, you know, could help determine the success of this team. I think it's true for both of them, that Bagley and Buddy could determine the success of this team, because we know that De'Aaron is good. We know that De'Aaron can be good under most circumstances. As long as he stays healthy and is out there on the floor, he's going to be able to contribute. The question is, what will Buddy be able to contribute? What will his role be? If his role is exactly the same as last year, and I'm not talking about on the bench or off the bench, or I'm not talking about on the bench or being a starter. Yes, 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 yes. If he is used on the floor the same exact way, this is all a failure. It's not gonna work well for Buddy. It's not gonna work well for the Kings. Like, it's not gonna work. There has to be a fundamental change. And Luke Walton talked about, no, it wasn't Luke, sorry, it was Monty McNair. This was another soundbite that made its rounds. The system for Buddy. We think he's gonna thrive. And you go to wait, what system? Luke Walton's still here. And that's accurate. Like, Luke Walton, like, it can't be the same thing they did last year, because if it did, it ain't gonna work.
Right. And you heard Monty talk about systems, and he mentioned Alvin and Rex, which, based on that, I would assume, like, anywhere Gentry goes, he's the offensive guru. And anywhere that Rex is gone, he's the defensive guru.
Yeah.
So I would assume Walton, it's no different. And they had these pieces when they were with Golden State as well. And Luke actually mentioned you playing more five out offense, which is what Gentry specializes in. So again, if you're taking off that, Gentry used it with the Suns. He brought it to the Warriors, and that is what the Warriors run, and they won their first ring running it. Steve Kerr credits him hugely to this day. And he even had a spoke with Jason Jones in one of the Athletic articles and was saying how much he thinks the Kings can, Gentry will spark that offensive again that we did not see last year. But that fits Buddy style perfectly. It'll be interesting to see how they do it with the big men, because a lot of time they trail in that kind of system. and it relies on guys being able to having a high IQ, which we did see Monty draft, having guys high IQ, being able to read the players around you, knowing when to cut, when to screen, you know, things like that. But it's a very good foundational offense and fits our personnel. So again, if Luke wants to stay around, like, to me, it'd be crazy not to use the two guys you just brought in that have over 20 years experience and have been successful, that the Kings under Jaeger were ninth in scoring and third in pace, and they were actually just behind New Orleans. Last year under Walton, they fell to 22nd in scoring and 19th in pace. So Gentry lost, right? So he was second in pace with Anthony Davis. He lost Davis. They got a whole new group of young players. Plus they had all those draft picks that they used during that too. So he completely had a whole new set of players. What did he have last year? He was still fifth in the NBA in points and fourth in pace. So he very much has a system and knows how to use his guys in a system. And I think that would be huge for the Kings to have. And we have him, what, for the next, I think, 4 years?
Yeah.
Is what they signed him to. So, again, and you see Monty in his interviews was very much preaching, laying down that foundation. And that was, he said that they were able to sell their free agents on Fox, Buddy Bagley, Luke, bringing Gentry and Rex's systems here with those guys, and that their systems are what is trending in the league. So that the guys that were brought in, Whiteside, you know, Glenn Robinson, who played really well in the Warriors in that system, it's another two-way player, but that was another guy that was sold on, you know, that you can highlight yourself in this kind of system and you'll be successful at it. So
that's part of the reason normally I think it's because this organization ridded itself of so many things that I didn't like. I'm believing in this. It's like, I want to give Monty McNair in this front office an opportunity. And I think with Luke Walton, I have to wonder if Monty just went to him and said, look, man, like, you've got help. We're going to help. We've had situations arise where we were able to bring in, you know, new assistant coaches. Like, you have help. You are not the coach by yourself. I don't know that there's a group text exchange going around like there was last year. I can't imagine that there is. Maybe there is, but I believe that Monty McNair's front office is much more hands-on with Luke Walton. And I would hope that Luke Walton is receptive to that. And because of that, and because I'm of the belief that he is, I think Buddy's going to be really successful this year. What that amounts to, I don't know. Like, I can't even define my own version of success. I don't know what it's going to look like. I think he's going to score points. I don't think he suddenly got smarter, but I think he's not going to be asked to do the same things that he was last year. And with him not being asked to do the same things that he was last year, he's going to make less mistakes. And immediately with a Buddy Hield making less mistakes, you've got a better Buddy Hield. And so I'm of the belief, you know, I'm Mr. Optimistic heading into the season. Again, I don't know what it means in terms of wins, in terms of losses, but I believe that Buddy is going to be successful this year. And I believe he's going to be a king for the entire season.
100%. So, and like you mentioned, so many of his turnovers last year were his bad passes actually went down, but losing the ball on himself went up 16 times. Like, again, putting him in situations where he's losing the ball off himself or making a bad read. Like, it's again, don't have him be necessarily the playmaker next to Corey Joseph. Like, he doesn't need to initiate it. Let him move.
Let him be the recipient of it.
Yeah. Let him catch and shoot. Yes,
exactly. Like, if you know, if the thing is you drafted all of these high IQ basketball players, Tyrese Halliburton the same way, Tyrese is going to be able to find Buddy.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you're going to be Robert Woodward. You're going to have guys who can find Buddy. Harrison Barnes is a smart player. Like, put him in a position where he's not asked to do those things that he's not good at. And maybe that's not a conversation that Luke Walton should have with Buddy. Maybe that's a conversation that Monty McNair needs to have with Buddy. And it's like, hey, we believe in you. We like you a lot. We think you're one of the best shooters in the league. There's a lot you could do for us. There's some things that we want you to do differently. There are some things that we don't think you're good at. And if you stop doing them, your star is going to skyrocket. So, and when that happens, the team is more successful. Everybody's star skyrockets when the team is successful. So
yeah,
I'm a believer. Yeah. Like I'm certainly going into it with an open mind. So I'm anxious to see how all of this works out. The Kings will be playing three preseason games on national television, two against the Golden State Warriors, one, I think, against the Portland Trailblazers.
Yeah, so, I mean, they're getting more in preseason than they had all of last year during the season.
We might have to start doing more than one podcast a week with all of this Kings news coming out, all of these games, you know, starting to happen. And this will be, I don't know, I'm excited. I normally don't go into the Kings season excited, but I'm excited for this season. I'm excited that I think they made changes in the right places. And I also know, you know, I haven't been the biggest cheerleader of Luke Walton, but I know if he falls short, he's gone.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's a question about that. Like if the team doesn't perform the way the front office expects it to, it's not going to be on them. It's going to be on him. And so I believe that, you know, the momentum for positive change will just continue from there. But I'm rooting for Luke. Like, I want this to work. And the next time we talk, the next time we talk, it'll be right before the first game is played. It'll be a couple of days before.
Yes. 2 days before.
So, like I said, we might have to start doing more podcasts. We can never talk too much Kings. Anything else before we go? We're going to have to dive in, you know, a little bit more into some of these things next week. The first practice will have happened. The first practice is going to take place this weekend, but anything else you want to touch on before?
I mean,
we wrap
most
up?
People that follow me on Twitter know that I love the Glenn Robinson signing. Mm-hmm. I was, when we were talking about wing help, I was saying either Glenn Robinson or Rondae Hollis-Jefferson. Like, those were two guys that played, you know, both ends of the court that I was excited about. And I'm interested to see if he can keep up his numbers from last year. And I know, again, we want to develop the young guys, but to me, it's another solid guy to have around you. He was the 84th percentile among us small forwards at the trade deadline last year on a bad Golden State team, shot 42% from the corner. Again, Monty talked about finding players around you that complement your skill set. He fits in that way with Fox. But I do think, just when it comes to this year and we talk about, you know, what does a good year look like? What is a bad year? I'll say development wise, this to me got me when Monty was talking about this with Carmichael Dave earlier in the week, but he was saying that in his terms of development, what he wants to see is establish a winning foundation. So he wants guys to compete hard every night, that lay the groundwork for offensive and defensive schemes, that guys develop by winning, being competitive. It's not just about, you know, getting guys minutes. So he stressed that, you know, we all talk about, well, they're not developing if they're not getting minutes. There's more to it than just throwing the guy, you know, throwing a kid out there on the court, and that just they just want to get as many players around them that complement Fox's skill set specifically. And it's just a combination of all those pieces. So just going into the season, know that, like, it, regardless of winning or losing, like, if we can see these guys starting to, like, have a system on offense, have a system on defense, like, actually building a groundwork, to me as a fan, I will be excited. Yeah. That's progress. And you just signed Fox, who wants to win eventually. Like, he's 22, going to be 23, and You got to start building those pieces.
The bar is so low for what we consider success here.
I know.
Progress.
We've never, like, really just, like, gone back to the bottom and actually tried to build it back up. We've always tried to throw stuff against the wall and hope it sticks and maybe get that 8 seed. Like, Monty keeps saying about, he wants prolonged like they did for Houston, right?
Yeah.
They got rid of McGrady. They lost Yao. They took on bad contracts for draft picks. Yep. They took on bad contracts for draft picks. And what do you know? They were ready. They didn't know it would be Harden. They didn't know who it would be, but there was a team that didn't want to pay three stars. We put ourselves in a perfect situation to be able to grab him. And he even said, like, I don't want to keep bringing up Houston, but that's my only that's his only history. And I saw how you can build it. And we did that. And we spent 8 years in the playoffs before I came here. So, you know, he's trying to build something that, like, we had back when we had our great 8 years of success and then nothing after that. Like, you want something that's going to build to last, not just a quick turnaround. So progress. I know that was kind of long to end it, but.
Oh, this is our podcast. This is what we do, is long form conversation. Progress is success. Follower at Jill Adge. Follow me if you'd like at Damian Barling. Tune in Monday through Friday, ESPN 1320, D'Lo and KC. Myself and Kenny Caraway, we're available again 1320 AM here in Northern California and Sacramento and anywhere in the world on the radio.com app. If you want more Kings talk, that is absolutely where you can find it. We'll be back here with you next week on the Sacramento Kings podcast presented by HoopBall and the Be Heard podcast platform.